Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
We are 9 hours away from the Cincinnati Bengals officially being on the clock. Of course, you can catch the draft right here on 98.7 ESPN, right there on ABC, over there on ESPN. So a lot of different choices where you can watch this thing. Now, today on ESPN Daily, the NFL draft is finally here. But how will it work exactly? With teams' staff scattered and connecting online, they break down the complications and predict some highly anticipated moves. That's ESPN Daily with Mina Kimes. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. All right, so Field Yates, guys, was on with Mina Kimes, and he said, take a listen to what he said you can expect in the first round of this draft tonight.
We absolutely could have chaos, which is great, and it feels like we are less informed about all of the nuances and details of the process than we normally are, right? We haven't had pro days. We haven't had the chance to say, oh, well, we happen to see, and again, this is just making it up here, Rick Spielman, the Vikings GM, was at the Alabama Pro Day, and then he was also at the West Virginia Pro Day. We haven't connected those dots.
What happens, Chris, if it's just it's chaotic, like you know, Becton's going three, and just things that we have no anticipation happen tonight?
Well, I think that'll favor the teams that have strong front offices and general managers because they'll make good decisions based on the tape and evaluating these prospects. Now, the one thing that I will say when you start to think about not having as much information as you're used to having on these prospects, the one quarterback that we've been talking about as the third guy that should be off the board, Justin Herbert, he did have an opportunity to get his pro day in as well as throw at the combine, as well as win Senior Bowl MVP. So there are a lot of data points on him in terms of teams having the complete picture. And I think a quarterback needy team could find themselves being real comfortable with taking Justin Herbert higher than we all think he should go.
Which, I mean, you wonder where he's going to go. Does Miami like him? Does L.A., the Chargers, like him? Do the Raiders move up for him? You'll tell us as we move forward this morning because we're continuing through with our mock drafts. 800-919-3776. Rick, I'm not going to press you. When you're ready for your third overall selection, you're going to let us know, yes?
Yeah, I'll let you know. Okay. I mean, don't have any expectations. This could lead in observations. Who knows?
I thought we said it right at 12 we're going to come out with our mock draft.
Yeah, but who knows? I mean, I don't know when the Wi-Fi is going to come back up. I don't know when my IT guy is going to get me straight.
He's going to call into Barton Hahn at 1:45. All right, I'm done. The K show at the back end of ENN. Peter, give me the last 90 seconds of ENN if you wouldn't mind.
I'm on Humpty Mock 16.0 right now currently.
Right, how stressed are you right now?
I can't.
And I'm not exaggerating. Like right now, I believe you are in absolute panic mode for this draft.
No, I'm a wreck. Complete wreck. I mean, you know how much I like to be right. I mean, between the text message that you just, I mean, that you read me and everything else going on, I'm getting text messages where Tom Brady's playing golf today. Like, there's a lot going on right now.
But you know you're not going to be right on a lot of these. Like, everyone says it's going to be chaotic. We're going to never see anything like this in the past, in the future. So just enjoy it. You can't just ride the wave today.
I'd like to try to ride the wave, but it's not in my DNA, Dave. I knew I wasn't going to get a shutout every single game, but I mean, that's going in, I thought I was, and then I was disappointed when I wasn't.
Let's go to Omar in East Brunswick. Omar, you're on 98.7.
How you guys doing?
We're okay, Omar.
I'm good. So, Chris, how you doing?
I'm good, brother.
I'm good. Rick?
I'm doing, man. A little banged up. Trash King got the best of me last night.
Omar, we're all doing well. None of us, I believe, Chris, are you wearing pants right now?
I am wearing pants, Dave.
Yeah. Rick, you're not wearing pants, right?
Of course not, no.
No. All right. So one of the three of us is wearing pants. We're all doing well. We're all excited for the draft. What do you got on your mind today, buddy?
Well, I'm a huge draft fan. I'm extremely nervous today. I only got about an hour of sleep. I can't stop thinking. You know, this is the first time we're going to be able to see, maybe hopefully, some stability in our franchise. I'm a rooter for all the teams in New York, that don't have functional franchises like the Knicks and the Mets. So this is going to be a different feeling, you know. I haven't been able to sleep because I'm so nervous and I'm so excited. I don't know. To have a competent GM makes my heart so happy. Because it's just like, it's finally somebody we can trust, you know. It's like if Rick, you know, if we had McCagnan at 11 this year, you're nervous because you don't know what – you don't have any trust in him. You think he's going to mess this thing up. You know what, Joe Douglas, so far everything's good. You only hear good things about him. So I'm really excited. I'm nervous. Just waiting to see what's going to happen because we need to start moving in a better direction. And I really hope that's the way we go. I hope we choose the best player we can. Joe Douglas makes the right pick. Either we move back or move forward. I hope he just does it the right way. And like I said before, I've called before, I love you guys so much. Just continue to be safe. Let's go, Jets. Dave, I'm a huge F fan, obviously, but I love you very much. I hope the Giants get whatever player you want today.
Thank you, Omar. Omar sounds like he sounds like Envision. Thanks for the call. Like what's going on with you? Like he's not sleeping. He can't eat. He's excited. He's nervous. Like he literally sounds like a mess right now, Rick.
Yeah, he's in one. I mean, He's absolutely in one right now. But again, I mean, it's from. I mean, what he said is what I hear from a lot of my buddies that are Jets fans. Is that as nervous as they are so far? I mean, they trust Joe Douglas, so they feel like at 11, if it's not an offensive lineman, we'll end up with, you know, the first or second best wide receiver in the draft, which is something that we desperately need.
Yeah, well, either way, you're going to get a player that you feel like can have an impact and help Sam Darnold become a better quarterback. And I guess that's ultimately all you're looking for if you're a Jets fan. Like, can we add a little more help on the offensive side of the ball to get Sam and that unit going? Because it was the worst offense in the National Football League. It feels like all the decisions that Joe Douglas has made so far this offseason has been about trying to support the quarterback, which is the right approach.
Yeah, which is what you have to do. I mean, that's absolutely what you have to do. I mean, your success is going to be tied to the success of Sam Darnold.
Yep.
And, you know, who you decide to choose at 11 that Adam Gase can ruin, and it's going to be up to you.
Oh, come on. Don't be – you sound like Omar. Don't be negative. Don't be nervous. It's an exciting day.
Is it being negative about Adam Gase, Dave, at this point? Is it being negative or is it being real
about
who he is as a coach?
This is not Adam Gase. You trust Joe Douglas. He's on the clock with 11 tonight. He's giving you no reason to not have full confidence in what he's done so far. Be optimistic.
I'm trying to be as optimistic as possible. I'm a nervous wreck.
I like optimistic Rick. But you really, like, this is not a joke. This is not for the radio. You really are. You're physically just unwinding before our eyes right now.
Yeah, I'm unraveling. I mean, you should have saw me last night. I mean, I didn't get off the phone. I mean, finally Cassie dragged me to bed, but I'm going, I mean, I got papers all over the places. I printed out every single person that's done a mock draft. I printed those out. I had them taped up going through all the picks. This is ridiculous. I put way too much time and effort into 11 picks.
Now, 8 o'clock tonight, there's no Uno. There's no operation, right? There's no let's do hockey goalie in the basement. 8 o'clock tonight, you're locked in. They can watch with you, but you're locked in on the draft tonight.
No, listen, I mean, from the second we get off the radio to the time they're ready to go to bed, it is going to be operation run the kids wild. So by 7:15-ish, they can't keep their eyes open. That's the goal.
And then, you get some draft time starting at 7.
Yeah, I want them begging. Like, by 7 o'clock, I want them begging to go to bed. Dad, we're so tired, we can't keep our eyes open. That's the goal. Might be pie in the sky, but that's what I'm shooting for.
Now, you wouldn't
There'll be
like
obstacle
them,
courses, everything.
The obstacle courses. You wouldn't like them to partake and watch part of the draft with you?
No, he's 5 years old.
So?
Watching anything with him outside of what he wants to watch is him trying to wrestle and jump on my head. I mean, it's me as a jungle gym trying to watch through him headbutting me. Okay, kid's a maniac.
Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Ira, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Happy draft day to everybody over there.
You as well, Ira.
Rick, you got to take a chill pill. And for the last caller, too. By now, this is like preparing for the SATs. If you don't have your work done, then you're nervous and you're upset and people are anxious. Right now, I'm at peace, man. It's all good. I trust Douglas. I trust the staff. And forget about the Jets' history. Okay, they're in a new regime right now, and new front office, and I think whatever they decide to do, I'm good with. Whether it's they get the tackle, I do believe with the stuff that's coming out and what you guys were saying, I do believe the top four tackles will be off the board. Maybe the 10th tackle taken in the draft turns out to be the best. You know, no, because nobody knows. It's a crapshoot. But I think whether they trade back, whether they take a receiver, I do feel pretty confident. I know Samini brought it up with you guys. You know, Jefferson, Sean Jefferson's son, I think he comes out of Florida. I do believe if he's around in the third or fourth round, that'll be the second receiver the Jets take. And just good luck to them. And
Justin Jefferson is not going to be around in the third or fourth round.
No, Vance Jefferson. That's a kid out of Florida.
Oh, Florida. Yeah, the kid from Van Jefferson. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I think if he's on the board in the third or fourth round, you know, with Sean Jefferson being a wide receivers coach, I think this kid, he's schooled well. I think the Jets will grab him as a second receiver. And like you guys mentioned, if the Jets happened to take Justin Jefferson in the late first round because they traded down, maybe you guys could check it out. That might be the first time you have two players with the same last name taken in the first three picks or four picks. You take two receivers with the name of Jefferson. So good luck to the Jets. Guys, enjoy the draft. Rick, relax, man. All's going to be good.
Ira is so optimistic. It's such a beautiful thing to hear. He's like this calming voice. He stands over the show. You have nothing to worry about, Rick. It's all going to be good. I mean, it's very, very calming effect he has.
No, but time out. I mean, what he said is spoken like a true fan that's been beaten down to where you know what? Take a deep breath, relax. There's nothing to worry about. Just ignore all the previous history of your team. Take that out of your mind.
How do you take that out of your mind?
No, you can't. Just that whole, you know, losing to Miami in Miami when they were 0-7 or turning around and losing to the 0-11, you know, 0-11 Cincinnati Bank. Take all that out of your mind. Not just woosah. You can't just make that disappear.
I understand. But you have never had a draft run by Joe Douglas before. So just
and Joe Douglas has never run a draft.
Good job.
And Joe Douglas has never run a draft. I mean, there's still a little bit of reason to be nervous. This is his first time doing it. And, oh, by the way, it's not like any other draft because they haven't had pro days and they're doing everything on Zoom. I mean, the deck is kind of stacked against them a little bit. I mean, I'm confident, but to just say, like, you know what, relax, just enjoy. Just enjoy it.
Just enjoy the ride. You're here for the journey. Whether you win or lose,
it sounds like Ira was, you know, doing a little of the boubons this morning with his eggs.
Wow.
Maybe that's dare you. Take a shot at a dear
old Ira. He found
a
way to settle his nerves, man.
Maybe he had a Xanax omelet. I mean, I don't understand what's going on here.
You're so nervous you're taking shots at Ira.
I mean, he's sprinkling some of the boubonge into his Metamucil. I don't know what's going on. Maybe I should do that.
420 was earlier this week.
Yeah, maybe you
exactly
should.
Right.
He's got leftovers he's eating
for the glaucoma.
Should I heat up the eggs again? Heat them up again?
For
yes.
My cataracts.
For my cataracts.
All right, Chris, it's our time. Time to shine.
Is Rick not going to jump in?
I'm not going to ask him.
Okay.
You're tired
of being rejected. I get it, Dave.
Clearly,
I understand.
He's clearly gone off the deep end here.
Well, because you guys aren't taking this serious. It's one
How
thing
are we
to,
not taking it seriously?
Because you guys got, I mean, you got the tastiest nugget of all time that we can't go public with because I don't want to get, I mean, we all don't want to get fired. But still, I mean, you don't think that's a little bit interesting? Like you would want to rework things a little bit once you hear that?
I'm not going to change my entire draft based on a rumor I'm hearing at 11 o'clock in the morning from one person. No.
Well, you have no respect for him then.
I have a ton of respect for him. Chris, have you Absolutely reworked not. Your entire draft board?
No.
Okay.
You guys have no respect for him. I mean, since he cut his hair and it's a mess, you've lost all respect for him.
No.
It's not that we don't have any respect for him. It's what he's floated out there. It just seems so far-fetched. But we'll see what happens.
If anyone could sniff out a smokescreen, it would be him.
You're absolutely right about that.
I'm taking it serious.
You're right. Dave and I are wrong.
I'm surprised he hasn't got a job at TSA yet, to be honest. Oh. They could walk him around.
Oh. Instead of the dogs?
Sir, we're going to have to check your bag.
Our human sniffing man over there thinks that you might have something going on.
All right, give it to me. Gosh. Give it to me. I want to know what's going on here. Give me you guys fourth pick. Give it to me.
All right, Chris, you want honors or should I go?
I'll give you the honors, Dave, because it is your Giants, and nobody is a bigger Giants fan than you.
All right, I'm not, breaking the atom here. I'm going to just stay true to what I've said the entire time. I have Tristan Wirfs going to Miami at 3, so I have the Giants with the 4th overall selection going someone that they feel comfortable with. I'm sure that the head coach has spoken with the head coach of Alabama, gives him rave reviews over Jedrick Wills. With the 4th overall selection, the New York Football Giants will take tackle Jedrick Wills Jr., Alabama.
I love the pick, Dave. I'm actually going that same direction. And here's the thing about Jedrick Wills. He played right tackle in Alabama, so there is no question about whether or not he can do what the Giants are going to need him to do day one, which is fill in at that right tackle spot. I think they've got Cam Fleming penciled in there right now. We all know that that's not going to be the case when the season kicks off. So I love the idea of them getting Jedrick Wills, somebody that played right tackle in college, started a couple of years, and then hopefully with the athleticism and all of the physical traits, he'll be able to move over to left tackle when you say goodbye to Nate Solder. I think it addresses the area of need for this team, solidifying that offensive line for the young quarterback and Saquon Barkley. I love that pick.
All right, so we're in agreement there. Jedrick Wills Jr., 4th overall selection, goes to the New York Football Giants. And I think most Giants fans would call us tomorrow and be very pleased with that pick, Rick, right? You would agree with that? Like, if the Giants take a proven right tackle, a guy you can anticipate moving to left tackle in the future, you'd have to feel good about that selection.
Well, you have to love the pick, especially when you get a chance to see him play. I mean, if that ends up who it ends up being, that's a great pick for the Giants. And the kid's nasty, too.
And that's the thing the Giants need, don't they, Rick? They need some guys that are a little more nasty, especially on the offensive side of the ball. This 100%. Team needs some more grit. Think about when they were winning Super Bowls in 2007 and 2011. Although you didn't really have any stars on that offensive line, you had a lot of tough, gritty dudes. Chris Snee, Kareem McKenzie, David Deal. Like, you had those guys. Doesn't feel like that Giants offensive line has had that in some time.
Yeah, they've had a lousy offensive line for a long time at this point.
Could I get a caw, please?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Santa, can I get a caw, please?
Caw!
Uh-oh.
This is only one caw. This isn't that crazy breaking, but I mean, it is. It's relevant because it's an NFL signing. Patriots are signing former Jaguars wide receiver Marquise Lee to a 1-year contract.
See ya! It's a good signing.
That's not a bad signing at all.
No. I mean, there's no risk there.
No, 1-year deal. Prove it. See how much he likes playing in New England.
New England will check your oil now, won't they?
Ooh.
if you say you like football, they're going to find out.
You want to hear a quote from the great Louis Riddick? Keep an eye on the Cowboys. Keep an eye on the Raiders. But in particular, keep an eye on the Patriots moving up and taking a quarterback.
Yeah, he said this the other day, too. He said if you're at 17, and I know Santiago's nervous as hell because Jerry Jones is going to be by himself during the draft, is that if all of a sudden at 17, like if Tua does, I don't think Tua's going to get to 17.
No.
But, I mean, if there is a quarterback sitting there at 17, do they make the decision to do that just as a security blanket? I can't imagine that, though.
Why would you do that?
I look at 13 as a spot where the Patriots could trade up to.
Was that the Niners?
Yeah, the 49ers have been talking about wanting to trade down because they don't have any second, third, or fourth round picks. And they got 2-for-1. So I just think that they're a team that's probably looking to slide back and acquire more draft capital. And we know that the Patriots and the 49ers have done a deal in the past. So, I mean, I feel like that makes a lot of sense for the Patriots. I want to say the Patriots have 3 threes and 2 fours. Mm. They've got 12 picks total.
Yeah, 12 picks, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, they've got a lot of draft capital. If they would want to move up from 23, it's possible for them to get into the teens.
That would be the one thing, if I were you, Rick, that would really upset me. If the Patriots wind up with Tua, I just would not feel comfortable with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I mean, it just feels like at some point, I mean, Tua's going to end up, it feels like for me, he's going to end up in our division. He's going to end up in the AFC East. I think it's probably Miami, but... But who knows? I mean, if he gets past 6, I mean, all hell could break loose.
Imagine he just starts. I would imagine too
the Raiders would be interested too. I mean, they have 2 first round picks. Gruden hasn't picked his quarterback yet. I mean, he pretends like he likes Derek Carr, but I mean, I said this yesterday. I mean, as far as your quarterback room, if you had Marcus Mariota in Tua, I mean, Tua grew up, I mean, grew up in, you know, idolizing Marcus Mariota. I mean, that would be a pretty good quarterback room.
And not to knock what you're saying, because I think it would be, and I think that Tua would absolutely give you the quarterback that's capable of having enough firepower to hang in with those offenses in your division. But the one thing I will say is Tua is a huge risk. Now, not as much at 12 as he would be in the top 10, but if you're a team like the Raiders, who absolutely needs help in the defensive backfield and in the wide receiver group, I just feel like because you're not in desperate need of a quarterback, you might not need to run the risk and roll the dice on Tua.
John Gruden loves quarterbacks. I mean, you're probably right as far as how they build their team. But I would imagine at some point that John Gruden probably wants to pick his quarterback. I mean, who knows if he wants to take a risk on Tua. But if Tua's sitting there at 12 mm-hmm. and you still have, what, pick 19 to get a quarterback, you could still get a really good wide receiver at 19, too, if you wanted to do that. Or you could take a corner.
Yeah, I think if C.J. Henderson fell out of the top 10, I would think the Raiders would go Henderson at 12 and then wide receiver at 19. But I don't have him falling out of the top 10, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, interesting. So we'll get back
to our
mock
draft. That's a little tease, Dave, a little tease.
Yeah, I love what you've done there. So Chris and I are up to the fifth pick. Rick is still debating who he's going to take a third overall. We'll continue that as we move along. And the Red Sox, you know what, Major League Baseball, what a job they do. There's no breaking news in any sport, so they actually hide this Red Sox news behind the NFL draft. So good job by them. In these trying times, it's important to remember we'll pull together as a community. Small businesses all over are going to be feeling the lasting effects of this pandemic. If you are a small business trying to get the word out that you're still serving the community, let us know. Send an email to 987ESPN@gmail.com and let us know your story so we can pass the word along to our community. 800-919-3776. We'll get to the Red Sox story in just a moment, but let's continue with the calls on the draft for now. Let's go to Danny in Saratoga. Dan, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's up, Dan?
Hey, I don't care how much weight you lost, Dave. You're still pound for pound the best in the business, man.
Oh, you're very nice. And, thank you.
Yeah, and Candy, thanks for the Super Bowl. Big Giants fan.
My
and,
man.
Yep, and Rick, I love you, man. So, question. You guys said the Giants for the fourth, Jedrick Wills. Do you guys realize Alabama was third and giving up sacks last year in the whole country? I mean, that offensive line was putrid. They were third in the country and allowed sacks.
But he's not putrid. So
yeah, but the offensive line has to work together. Yeah. You're talking about five guys doing their job in order to protect the quarterback. That doesn't mean that Jedrick Wills didn't do his job just because they had some breakdowns across the offensive line.
So you don't think, okay. All right,
no.
Well,
you watch Jedrick Wills play and you realize why he's going to be a top 10 pick.
Okay, so you put him in left tackle and you think he's a lock for the next 10 to 15 years. Well,
yes.
Like 10 years.
Yeah. Okay. Next decade plus, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's something really comforting about that. Thanks for the call, Dan. Chris, to just be able to say, left tackle, I don't have to think about it for the next decade. That's a big deal.
Think about what the Jets enjoyed when they drafted DeBrickashaw Ferguson, my former teammate, once upon a time. He used the fourth overall pick, Dave, and look how long he played. And were the Jets worried about the offensive line or the tackle position in specific?
No.
No. So, I mean, that's the beauty of it. When you have an offensive line that's worthy of that kind of draft capital, I mean, especially when you look at the scarcity of the position, offensive tackles are hard to find in today's NFL. They just are. So if you have an opportunity to find a guy that you believe can be your starter for the next 10 years, especially if you have a quarterback going into year two or year three, why would you not take advantage of that opportunity?
Yeah, you can. And you have multiple opportunities to get that done, whether it's Wirfs, whether it's Wills. Now, here's a question for you. We both took Wills for the Giants at 4. If the Dolphins either don't move up or move up and take the quarterback, and Wirfs is there at 4 for the Giants, where would you go?
I like Wirfs, Dave. And I get all of the criticisms about him. Sometimes he can get overextended. Sometimes he doesn't play with a strong base. But when you look at the kid in terms of, you know, what he brings to the table, the athleticism, the physical traits, Tristan Wirfs has things that you cannot teach. He ran a 4.8 at the combine at 320 pounds. I mean, in terms of his athleticism, it's off the charts. He has the versatility because he's played right tackle and he's played left tackle. And then, oh, by the way, he went to Iowa, which is a factory for offensive linemen. So when you factor all of those different things in, I feel better about worse, but I don't have him, you know, head and shoulders above Wills. I think they're both right there.
800-919-3776. 90 seconds, we'll get to the Red Sox, and we'll get back to your calls moving forward with the draft, and we'll continue through our mock draft as well. Let's go to Nick in Jersey. Nick, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Rick, cheer up. I think we got something good going with the Jets. And Kenny, how's that golf swing coming along?
It's still good and terrible, but I still have fun when I go out on the golf course.
Rick, people are worried about you. You can hear it in Nick's voice. People are worried about you.
I'm concerned for me at this point.
I mean, I've been living this forever, I feel like, with the Jets and disappointment, but I feel like there's only, you know, they have to address offense. But, you know, a quick question I want to ask you guys. If all four tackles are off the board and Jerry Jeudy are the number one wide receivers off the board, would you go with the number two wide receiver, or would you go number two pass rusher? Is there?
I don't think you're going pass rusher. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to stay at 11, and you don't necessarily love your second wide receiver, whoever that ends up being. I mean, there's the potential that maybe a team like Atlanta wants to move up. If the corner they want is available, you could take the corner. If you love C.J. Henderson, I mean, they definitely need help at corner. I mean, they're going to have plenty of options at 11. I mean, I have my fingers crossed that if the tackles are gone, no one is traded up into the top 10, and you'll have your choice of the wide receivers.
Completely agree, Rick. I don't think that's what it comes down to. Now, if you're telling me that all the tackles are gone and Jerry Jeudy is gone, it's a conversation between CeeDee Lamb and C.J. Henderson. That's what it would be for me. And I would probably lean towards CeeDee Lamb just because I got to get Sam Darnold back on track. And you don't really have a number one wide receiver.
Yeah, you definitely don't have a number one wide receiver.
No, but you got to, I mean, but the bottom line is you're going to have, I mean, Joe Douglas is going to have a lot of different options at 11.
Mm-hmm.
That are good options. I mean, would you rather be in a position where you could take, I mean, with what the Jets need, you know, the best tackle in the draft? Of course you'd want the best tackle in the draft. But if all of a sudden, because, I mean, this is one of those drafts where, you know, it just so happens to be offensive tackle that goes early, and you're stuck, you know, with now all of a sudden making the decision, I mean, you're still going to get a really good wide receiver. Or, you know, if you want to give Greg Williams more ammunition on the defense, you could get, I mean, you get the second best corner. Or maybe you think C.J. Henderson's the best corner. Who knows? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's the good thing about what Joe Douglas has done to this point, Rick. I mean, he got the offensive lineman, he got Fant, he re-signed Alex Lewis, he got McGovern. Like, he's made some solid decisions in free agency that gives him the opportunity to be flexible tonight. I mean, that's ultimately what you want to do, right? You want to be able to set yourself up where you don't have any glaring needs going into the draft, and you can have a lot of good options. And I think that's exactly where the Jets find themselves with the 11th overall pick.
They still got to fix the offensive line, though. They have to.
Well, yeah, but Dave, also remember, too, I mean, then maybe, I mean, the potential exists where, you know, maybe you do pick up the phone and see what, you know, Washington's willing to do with Trent Williams.
Yeah.
And you can address
I'm not saying how you have to fix the offensive line, but you have to fix the offensive line.
You have to fix the offensive line, Dave, but if all the tackles that you're looking at are gone by the time you pick at 11, then I think you pivot and you turn to another position.
That's fine.
But you keep in mind that you do have to upgrade the talent level on your offensive line. That's not a finished product.
No.
I think everybody understands that. But I think what Joe Douglas has done is bought himself some time by being able to get guys that can fill in until you can make that definitive move and find your tackle for Sam Darnold.
All right, let's transition, and we'll get back to the draft in just a matter of moments. But let's spend a couple minutes on the Boston Red Sox. Rick, I mean, Major League Baseball really doing their best to try to bury this behind the NFL draft, and the punishment was, I felt it was shockingly light from Rob Manfred.
Yeah, I mean, if there's any sport outside of the finances that has actually benefited from this pandemic, it's Major League Baseball. I mean, with what was going on with the Astros, that's all we talked about. I mean, the fact that, you know, the Astros were going to get destroyed every single game that they played. And now, I mean, we just kept waiting and waiting, and he kept pushing it back and pushing it back. You know what? we got to interview more players. The investigation is still ongoing. And then all of a sudden to have, this come out, a second round pick and your video replay guy is suspended. And then the best part is Alex Cora doesn't even get suspended for what he did in Boston. It's for what he did with the Astros.
That's the part that blows my mind, man. Like, how are you going to sit here and say, if you're Major League Baseball, that the guy that was at the heart of the cheating scandal with the Astros is not implicated in whatsoever with what the Boston Red Sox were doing with the video replay? Like, that's the part that this just, I don't understand how you can say that Alex Cora is above all of the stuff that we speculated about the Boston Red Sox back in 2018. After you've already proven that he was involved in the cheating scandal with the Astros. How does that make any sense?
The whole thing sounds sketchy. And too, when you read the report, the whole thing sounds sketchy too. Cause initially when they, and this is, I guess, why they went back and continued the investigation. When they initially interviewed the Red Sox and they interviewed Watkins, who was the replay, the head of the replay for the video replay for the Red Sox, he said, I mean, he disputed all the charges. No, that's we didn't cheat. And then I guess 11 of the players disagreed with that and said, no, this is what we were doing. So they had to go back and kind of figure out what the hell was going on. But I mean, you read some of these articles and you look at the numbers that the Boston Red Sox had during that 2018 season. I mean, I find it hard to believe that if Alex Cora had, I mean, he's one of the masterminds in Houston. They had that much success, won a World Series, that all of a sudden now he's the manager of the Red Sox and they just stop. Like, he just, right, cold turkey, he's just done with it.
It feels like they get off as almost scot-free here, right? I mean, really almost scot-free. And this, it took them forever. I remember we thought that they were going to come out with their ruling. And it's like, we have to dig deeper. There's more to do. And they came out with this. I don't know. I just think this was buried. I think they wanted this to go away. And I don't think this was much of a punishment at all for the Red Sox.
Well, mission accomplished for Major League Baseball, Dave. That's exactly what's happened. I mean, it's just so happens to be, you know, that where the country is dealing with the pandemic and everything that's going on, that people have kind of forgotten about, you know, everything that's happened. And then they come out with this on the eve of the NFL draft. And that's exactly what's going to happen to this discipline that they handed down to the Red Sox. Nobody's going to think about this. People aren't going to talk about this. This isn't going to be in the news cycle.
No.
Yeah, this is going to be done with.
They buried it beautifully. Yeah, what they did.
This is going to be done with. And so,
you know. They were smart, too.
Go ahead.
I mean, they were smart, too. I mean, they got rid of Dave Dombrowski. So, I mean, he was the general manager at the time. He's gone. So, I mean, he's out of the picture.
Yep.
And then Alex Cora is already, I mean, he's already implicated with the Houston Astros. I mean, you went from a team, the Houston Astros, that, you know, with the trash cans and everything else, real time. But you put all the emphasis on the GM and the head coach. They both get suspended for the season. They both end up losing their jobs. And now all of a sudden you want to tell me in a season where, I mean, have you looked at some of the Red Sox numbers and what they were able to do during that season? Like, significant numbers too, like ridiculous. That now all of a sudden we're just going to blame one person. You know the players aren't going to get suspended because that already.
Right. Well, that wasn't going to happen. We knew that.
But you're going to go with JT Watkins? The video replay, the video review guy is the fall guy for this?
They found their fall guy, Rick. They found their fall guy. The Chris Carter game plan. We gotta have a fall guy. It's gonna be this low level employee.
So that's where CC has been. He's off Fox,
he was up
in Boston with the Red Sox.
Consulting.
How about these numbers? Ready for this?
What you got?
Boston's OPS with runners in scoring position in 2018. And the reason why I bring this number up is because they said in the investigation that they were using the decoding of signs when someone was on second base. Their OPS with runners in scoring position was 872. Not only the best in baseball that year, but also the best by any team in the previous 12 seasons.
Hmm. Wow. Wow.
Which is, I mean, and then they didn't use it in the postseason. Oh, really? I mean, they hit 364 with runners in scoring position, up from 289 in the regular season.
Well, that's the part of it that doesn't make any sense to me, Rick. I mean, Alex Cora was with the Houston Astros when they cheated their way to a World Series championship. And so we're to believe that the Boston Red Sox, with him as the manager, wouldn't do the same thing in 2018? That's the part that doesn't make any sense. Cheaters, if they have success, they're not going to stop cheating. They're just going to continue to do what they've been doing. So to say that Alex Cora just left Houston and all of a sudden he's going to be a man of integrity, a manager of integrity, I think that's so far-fetched. I, nobody's buying that. But then again, nobody's going to talk about it and criticize it because this is going to die on the vine when it comes to the sports media cycle. Everybody's going to be focused on what happens on the NFL draft and then what happens in terms of getting sports back in the next couple of months. Nobody's going to be talking about the discipline that Major League Baseball gave to the Boston Red Sox or lack thereof.
Yeah, all of a sudden Alex Cora found religion. I mean, just coming off the heels of a World Series. Now he's a manager for the first time. He's just going to, you know what? I'm all set with this overwhelming success. How about this? So that 364 I was telling you about with runners in scoring position, that postseason, the average that year, so they were 364. Major League Baseball's postseason average in those situations was 236.
Hmm. So 130 so they were 364. Points higher, huh?
Average was 236.
How about this? Major League Baseball found that Watkins used the decoded information, quote, only a very small percentage of occurrences. Communication of these violations was episodic and isolated to Watkins and a limited number of Red Sox players only.
Yeah, but that's what I don't understand, though. I mean, I get what they're trying to do. I mean, they're trying to just put this whole thing to bed. The reality is that you have, you know, back-to-back championships that are tainted. But, I mean, it's just like all of a sudden we're just going to believe that JT Watkins just went rogue on his own. Like, hey, I'm just going to decide to take it upon myself to start decoding signs and give it to the players so they can use it when they're on second base. But not all the time. Not all the time. Only in certain situations when we really need it.
A very specifically chosen number of times we will do that. Not all the time because that would cross some kind of an imaginary line. All right, 800-919-3776. Chris, you and I are up to pick five. Rick, you're holding steady, waiting for the third overall selection from you in our mock draft. Chris, you're up to your fifth selection. You have the Giants taking Jedrick Will. Santa, you have some beautiful chimes for us, maybe? All right, Chris, the floor is yours. The fifth pick for your draft right now. The Lions are on the clock.
And the Lions are going to take Jeff Okuda, cornerback, Ohio State. Dave, they could have went Derrick Brown right here. That does make some sense. But the Lions had the worst pass defense in the National Football League last year. They have a defensive-minded head coach in Matt Patricia. And I just feel like if you're going to compete in this league, if you're going to play good defense, it starts by being able to slow down the passing attack. And I feel like Jeff Okuda would help the Lions do that more than Derrick Brown, so I got him going Okuda at five.
All right, Okuda at five. If I could get the chimes, Santiago? Anytime. The chimes for my selection. There we go. I'm going to take – I have a feeling that the one guy that we look at in this draft and say, well, boy, we thought he was going to go three, then we thought maybe five, and he drops maybe out of the top 10 is Jeff Okuda. So I'm not going to go, and this is the first time you and I are going to differ with our mock draft, Chris. I'm going to say Derrick Brown moves up to number five, and Matt Patricia and the Lions nab him there. Apparently he's a terrific run defender, big-time bull rush guy. I think Patricia will probably fall in love with that, and I think you've already acquired more picks of your Detroit. Now you get Brown, and I think they'd be pretty happy about that. All right, so there you have it. My picks are in. Your picks are in through five. Rick, any desire to make your third overall selection?
No, zero. Zero desire.
Zero. You're not gonna get involved at all. Not until noon.
Currently not involved. No.
Okay.
Are you narrowing? Like, do you find that you're making some headway through your mock draft?
Headway. Yeah. I mean, you can describe it as that. I mean, I'm just finishing it up. 20.0. 20.0 could be it.
Is it fair to say you overthink this?
I would say it's paralysis by analysis, I would say. I'll probably end up going back to the first one that I did, but I mean, I kind of like what I'm doing right now.
It's really unbelievable when you think about it, Dave.
What he's doing?
Yeah, what he's doing.
He's driving himself crazy.
Well, because something crazy is going to happen. That's the point, though. Something crazy is going to happen. And that text message, as crazy as it sounds, I mean, maybe isn't so crazy, and that completely takes, you know, my mocks 1 through 16, 17, and just completely turns them upside down.
So we get a text message from Renan, an isolated guy. There's no like confirmation from anybody else. One text message from Renan, and it completely throws you heading into your mock draft.
Completely throws me. Yeah, I mean, I listen. Do I love it? I don't love it, but I mean, we're sitting at home doing nothing, right? Like, we have a show for 3 hours, and then it's, you know, whatever we end up doing with our days. I mean, his sole purpose in life, outside of, you know, hopefully Propecia, whatever he's taking to get his hair back, is to figure out what the hell the Giants are doing. I mean, that's what he's doing, or he should be doing. And he comes up with that. I mean, I'm gonna take it serious.
So now what's going to happen is, if that doesn't come to fruition, you're going to be angry with Renan.
Yeah, Renan will be dead to me, yes.
Yeah, I know he will. Seth in Englewood. Seth, you're on 98.7.
What's going?
What's up, Seth?
Hey, I'm just like you, Dave. Giants lose, I can't. The week is horrible. But I think, ideally, I would love to trade down, not past 7. And I think, I don't understand how we could pass on a talent like Isaiah Simmons when we signed Blake Martinez, who's a tackling machine, but can't guard anybody. And I think him and Isaiah Simmons together would work perfectly. And then if we can trade down, get an extra second-round pick and spend both of those second-round picks on the Jackson kid from USC or the Jones kid from Houston.
I don't know that either of those guys can be available in round two, for starters. And secondly, Chris, none of us are bothered by Isaiah Simmons. If the Giants took Simmons, you wouldn't be upset about it. I just think that all three of us agree that the way to go and to maximize the strengths that you have in Barkley and Engram and Daniel Jones is to really solidify this offensive line.
Well, Dave, the most important thing for the organization to do right now is to facilitate Daniel Jones' development. And I know that, you know, they have to improve the defensive side of the ball. They were god-awful last year, you know, with that unit. But when you start looking at the most important thing for the development of your quarterback, you'd have to say solidifying the offensive line. Daniel Jones' biggest issue last year were the fumbles in the pocket. Well, guess what? If he's not getting hit, then he's not fumbling the football. Your quarterback got hit way too much. So to me, I have to prioritize fixing the offensive line over finding a playmaker on the defensive side of the ball, as bad as that unit was. I have to rely on Patrick Graham, the new defensive coordinator, to figure that out with smoke and mirrors. But with the draft capital that I have early on, I've got to look at the offensive line.
Can I ask a silly question?
Yeah, I love the silly question. Yeah.
Okay, the pick that you just made. So you had Miami trading up to 3.
You were right.
Okay, but so you have Detroit moving from 3 to 5?
Right.
Wasn't the whole report that Miami was keeping 3 and 5?
What? So you think Miami was keeping 3 and 5?
So you think they're going to trade their later 2 first-round picks?
That was the report, yeah. The report wasn't that they were swapping 3 for 5. Was that they were trying to get 3 and keep 5.
It's possible. Not my mock draft, though. That's not how
I don't think that's going to happen. But we'll see.
Okay. But that was I'm just letting you guys know.
Yes,
that
has been rumored. I think that feels for Detroit to go from 3 out to the teens feels like a long drop. I don't think they do that.
Agreed.
Do you though, Rick, with your 3rd overall selection?
Well, that would make sense. Like, if Miami, if I want to believe everything that I'm hearing, which I'm trying not to, but I'm very easily swayed. I mean, if that's the case, and that's really what you're trying to do, you're trying to get the tackle and the quarterback. I mean, I would say that. If I'm going to 3, I want to keep 5, too.
Unless you hold Jordan Love in higher regard than most, then you're not worried about it as much because you're right there at 18.
Yeah, you're right there at 18, but then, I mean, you're also in a position where you're kind of at the mercy of what happens ahead of you as opposed to controlling your own fate. Like, why would I mess around and take the chance that someone likes Jordan Love, too, when if I can find a way to keep 5, I could get my offensive lineman and my quarterback at 5?
That'd be scary. If you get Wirfs, Wills, whoever, but if you get Wirfs and Tua,
I just don't think that the Dolphins love the other quarterbacks in this class. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but if they were trying to trade up to get the number 1 overall pick, think about what that would cost in order to get that from Cincinnati. You wouldn't do that if you had strong feelings about the other guys in this class.
I think you would try. I mean, if you love Joe Burrow, or more importantly, the owner loved Joe Burrow, then, I mean, it doesn't hurt to see if they'll give you the 1st overall pick. You could still like Tua, but you like Joe Burrow better, just because there's no injury concerns.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I just think that, you know, when you call a team that has the 1st overall pick, you know that that's going to be a ransom. I mean, you know you're talking about at least three first-round draft picks. So before you even pick up the phone to call Zach Taylor, Mike Brown, and the Cincinnati Bengals, you know going in, I'm willing to give up at least three first-round draft picks in order to get that number one selection. We would assume they would be moving up for Joe Burrow.
Right.
To me, if you're going to invest that type of capital in that kind of player, to have the conviction to mortgage those three picks tells me that you're not as hot on the other guys.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg, weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.